So the Julia Child Awards are given every year at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History. And part of the deal is that the winners all donate objects from their lives that help tell the story of their careers. So their stuff actually goes into the museum's collections to be immortalized forever. Paula Johnson is a curator at the museum, and she joins us to talk about how she gets the good stuff. Hey, Paula, great to have you here.
Hi, Francis.
So you have a very cool part of your job, and that is that you get to go to all the winners of the Julia Child Award and bring back something from them to display in the museum. So I want to know, what's that like? I mean, what's that like standing in front of someone who's going through their stuff and you know they're thinking, oh man, I'm going to be in the Smithsonian forever.
Yeah, it is a cool part of my job. I will admit that. It has been different for each of the winners, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for Jacques Pepin, it was something that we talked about, and then it led from one thing to another. For Rick Bayless, it was also very different. I was able to speak with him and his staff and to really talk about it quite a lot ahead of time. And by the time they came back with a very wonderful list, I pretty much knew that there were certain things that stood out. Jacques Pepin donated a collection of menus. And as you probably know, he is an artist, and these mm-hmm. menus are works of art and show both, of course, the menu items, but also his whimsy, as well as photographs and documents and a few kitchen tools. From Rick Bayless, we were able to collect his original field notes from his research in Mexico in the 1970s. They are just fantastic because he was an anthropologist and was keeping incredible notes as he traveled around different regions of Mexico. And the field notes are handwritten, and then midway through, they are typed. And he realized that he really wanted to type his notes halfway through the trip, so he bought a little typewriter, and he donated the typewriter as well.
Oh, cool.
From Danny Meyer, we collected around his concept of enlightened hospitality mm-hmm. that really shaped and drove his groundbreaking restaurants in New York. So we have, again, another document, this notebook of his conversations with people that he was asking for guidance developing Union Square. It's quite a diverse collection, as you can see. We're really looking at, again, the biographies of people and their particular stories. This year, it's wonderful to have been able to go to Los Angeles and to speak with Mary Sue Milliken and Susan Feniker mm-hmm. about their stuff. But we don't really start with the stuff. We always start with the story of who they are and how they got to where they are, how they got into the restaurant business, and what those early years were like, what the struggles may have been, what were the challenges, and how did they land on, you know, this very successful formula that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it really starts with the story of learning about who the people are, what the big themes might be in their histories, and then to show up and talk to them about what that might look like. What is the kind of the kernel of their own history? So I was delighted to be able to go to Los Angeles at the end of July and to meet them in Border Grill. They had gone through their stuff ahead of time and had pulled out just boxes and bags and piles of things. And, you know, to a curator, that's just, you know, that's catnip going in and looking at that. And they had a pretty good sense of, you know, what we were after and had come up with some great material.
Yeah. So what is it? What is it they're donating? You have me in so much suspense right now.
Okay, that's where we want you. We are in the middle of collecting this material. Two big boxes arrived a few weeks ago. And in one box was Mary Sue Milliken's knife bag that she had packed for competing on Top Chef Masters, which she did in 2011. And, you know, this is an object that we don't have anything quite like it in the collections yet.
Yeah.
And there it all was, you know, all beautifully arranged. There are six knives, four spatulas, you know, chopsticks, scissors, zesters, you know, all of this stuff.
Oh, man.
So very, very cool.
And what about Susan? What is Susan doing today?
Yes, well, the two of them have also donated some of the dishes from their early restaurant, City Cafe, in Los Angeles. And these are just so special. They're beautiful, very colorful, and they are shapes that reflect the cuisine that they were really featuring in City Cafe. And so we have a nice 8 or 10 pieces. And to come to the museum, we will have a chef's coat. You know, Mary Sue and Susan were very into color very early on. And so we have a pink chef's coat with border grill embroidered on the cuff, which again shows how they're very cognizant of the fact when they are doing something on television that they can also show their border grill or the camera angle, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
And then we've got, you know, the archives are always, you know, very, very interesting to go through. I mean, there's paper and then there's paper. And for us, there were these little notebooks that didn't look like much. But of course, when you pick them up and you look at them and you realize, oh, my gosh, this is their first trip to Mexico, you know, trying to really research some of the culinary roots of dishes that they were interested in for their restaurants.
Yeah.
So little notebooks like that. Another one from India and from Thailand.
Oh, so cool.
And, you know, this is where you can sort of imagine as a researcher looking through this and sort of seeing the thought process of somebody who is curious about food traditions in other parts of the world and cooks and people in other parts of the world and to then think about bringing that back for their restaurant in Los Angeles.
Yeah. It's so cool, too, because I imagine, you know, if you fast forward 20 years in the future now, 30 years in the, you know, the people who are going to win it then, you're going to be like, hey, can you send me the text that you were texting to yourself from that, you know, when you visit the tortilla factory? But let me ask you.
Oh, dear.
What you're also doing, though, is you're going through essentially someone, like, as you said, someone's life story through the objects that they have held and written in. And isn't it an emotional process for them?
It is kind of. And in fact, you will see people bring this stuff out and then it's there. And then when we come and we start handling it, gently, of course, but handling it and talking to them about it, you know, the stories are triggered. And when they start telling the story, the meaning is made apparent of what this object represents to them and their lives and what they care about. And there are these emotional moments when somebody will, you know, have that look on their face. And we always tell people, look, you know, it's your choice to donate something to the collections. And if you're not ready, you're not ready. so we don't force people. But those emotional stories are the things that we document along with collecting the actual objects and that we try to preserve as well so that it can be conveyed and communicated to a larger audience.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Paula. This is so interesting.
Thanks, Francis. My pleasure.
That's Paula Johnson, a curator at the National Museum of American History and the director of the American Food and Wine History Project. And fun fact, Paula Johnson is also one of the curators responsible for one of the most amazing exhibits at the Smithsonian, Julia Child's Kitchen.